Brother Lonnie, if it's okay, I'd like to come ahead just a minute. Children of God, I'm asking you for the next few minutes. Children of God, pray. Pray. Start praying right now. Pray sincerely from the bottom of your heart that God's Word would have its free course right now. We have the ability to free the Word of God and let it go down into the hearts of these men and women who are lost and without hope. And children of God that I have confidence in, that have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I'm asking you sincerely from the bottom of my heart for the next little bit, pray. Don't let up praying. Pray. Pray, pray that God would allow His Word to be delivered and that He would open the eyes of the blind, that He would unstop the ears that are deaf, and that that Word of God would go down into a heart that has been prepared to receive that seed, and that the fowls of the air, that these spirits that are trying to snatch it away from their mind, that those spirits would be bound and cast out of here and would not have any power, but that the Word of God would have its free course and that it would go down into the hearts of these that need to hear the truth of God's Word today. Today is homecoming day, and it's a day that we get to think back and to celebrate and to remember about the good things that God has done for us over the years. And I was thinking about Brother Buddy and how that over on Sachs Road, I believe it was 1958, is that 3252 Sachs Road, God had prepared a man of God to deliver the undefiled true Word of God, and He had prepared hearts that were ready to accept and receive that Word of God. And when that man of God stood up there over on Sachs Road under the anointing of the Lord, and he began to deliver those words that God told him to preach, those hearts began to receive it. And in those hearts, they accepted it, they believed it, and they came to the knowledge of the truth then. And those seeds that were planted came forth and began to grow into fruit. And we see among us today the fruit of the labor of Brother Buddy and Brother Charles and Brother Melvin and my grandfather and those old elders that helped establish not the way of holiness, but the holiness as we know it here in Memphis or Nesbitt or whatever you want to call this area, because holiness didn't start over there in Sachs Road. It started all the way back in the second chapter of Acts of the Apostles. And we're going to go to that in just a few minutes. But if you've got your Bibles, I want you to open your Bibles with me. We're going to flip through a couple of different places today, because what I want you to know in the bottom of your heart is what we believe as the way of holiness. This is why we believe what we believe, and it's not because of man's opinion. It doesn't matter what I think. Word of God says, let every man be a liar and his word the truth. We're going to go to the Word of God and let the Word of God stand on the Word of God. We're going to start. If you don't have your Bibles, bring out a phone, because you can download the Bible app and it's easy to get it on there. We're going to start in Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire, and children of God, don't let up praying. Pray. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Lord, that is my heart's desire and every child of God's heart's desire that is here today. Our desire for you is that you might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. So let me tell you, ignorant is not an insult, okay? Ignorant just means they have not come to the saving knowledge of the truth. There is a truth that they had not been exposed to yet, and they were ignorant of the truth. So he's not being derogatory to them and saying these people are just stupid. He's saying they are ignorant of the Word of God because they haven't been exposed to the truth yet. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We're going to skip down to verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we're going to go on, skip on down to verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So if it takes calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved, how can you call on him of whom you have not believed? And how then shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Skip down to verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The beginning step of the stages of the plan of salvation is that there will be a man that has been anointed and has been called to deliver God's pure and undefiled word. And he has been called to deliver that word of God. And when he has been called, he will be sent to them that are prepared and ready to receive that word of God. And that word of God has to come to them, and for faith to begin, for you to start to have faith, you must first hear the word of God preached by a man of God that has been called of God, ordained of God to deliver God's holy word. And he says, how then? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except he be sent? So Paul starts there in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're going to jump now to Joel chapter 2, because what Paul is doing right there, verse 13, he's saying, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a direct quotation from the prophet Joel over in the Old Testament. And the prophet Joel, we're going to jump over and we're going to read what Joel has to say, because I want you to understand. I'm not going to get into that yet. We're going to start. Let's read right here. Verse 28 of chapter 2 in Joel. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. There will be deliverance for those whom the Lord calls. If you are under the sound of my voice today and you can start to feel a little bit of a stirring in your heart, don't harden your heart while you feel that stirring, that is the calling of the Lord that is coming upon you. And that is Him saying, He says that I've left the 99 that are safe in the fold, and I'm going out and I'm searching for that one lost sheep that has gone out and has gone astray. And if you are hearing, He also says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. If you are hearing that voice of the Lord today and you are feeling a stirring in your heart, then there is a calling that has been placed on you, and He is calling you out of a life that you are living in right now, calling you out of a life of sin, of a life of doing things your own way, of a life just consumed with your own self, calling you out to live a holy life, separated. Come ye out, taste not, touch not, handle not, and be ye a separate people. Come out and be a holy people. And He, that call is going out to you today. But the prophet Joel told us, he said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Paul and Peter both quote that exact same scripture, but when they quote it, they say, shall be saved. Let's go over to the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles now. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and understand what Pentecost is. We are not Pentecostal. We follow the way of holiness. And holiness is not a denomination. Holiness is God's standard of living. It is what God intends for people, the standard that God intends people to live by to make it from earth to this glory land world. Pentecost simply means 50. And He's saying the day of Pentecost came 50 days after the Passover. So when 50 days had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There are two distinct tongues. The writer of Acts is Luke. Luke is telling us here that there are two separate tongues. There is one, the cloven tongue, and that cloven tongue, no man understands the cloven tongue. It cannot be interpreted. It is not something that is interpreted. And if you want to come talk to me about what it means to interpret a tongue and where Paul is talking about over in Corinthians, come and we'll sit down and talk about it. I don't want you to get confused. It's two separate tongues. One tongue is the cloven tongue that no man understands. The other is other tongues, which is other languages, because there were devout men, Jews from every nation under heaven that were gathered there. And when the Holy Ghost was given, the evidence that the Holy Ghost had been given was the cloven tongue that they spoke in. And then there was the gift of tongues that was poured out upon them, and they began to speak in other languages. For instance, there were Hispanic people there that could understand Spanish, and German people there, and they understood German, and there were Russians there possibly, and they could, not back then, but in our modern day, for an understanding of it. And as those men began to deliver that word of God, as they delivered it, those Russians understood in that language. The Spanish understood the Spanish language. The Germans understood it in their language. And so there are two very distinct and different tongues that Luke is telling us about. One is the cloven tongue, the other is the gift of tongues, speaking in other languages. And Lord, I want to see that gift working again among us. I believe that every single one of these gifts that are in this Word of God are alive and well in God's New Testament church. And this Word of God, this Holy Ghost, is not just meant for Nesbitt, Mississippi. This Word of God and this Holy Ghost is meant for the entire world. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel everywhere, into all the world. And this Word of God, this way of holiness, is not just meant for a few people right here. It is meant to go out into all the world. And I am praying and have been praying that God will raise up a generation of people that will be willing to go out into all the world and deliver this word to a lost and dying world. Because he says when that word is delivered, then the end will come. God said it is going to happen. There is going to be, the word of God is going to be delivered out to, because when the time comes and he comes back in the clouds, there's going to be people with him that are with every tribe, every tongue, every nation. He's going to have people from everywhere with him, not just Caucasians. They're going to be red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. And everybody needs the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it is our responsibility to take that word of God to them. And if we are sitting here and keeping it to ourselves, we better watch out and not let what happened to the disciples, to the apostles in Acts, early part of Acts. God said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. And what happened to them? They didn't. They were comfortable where they were and they stayed there. And God allowed persecution to come against the church. And he allowed that specifically so that those disciples would be dispersed all over the world, that they would go everywhere. And the word of God says, as they went preaching the gospel. So God intends for us to take this word of God all over this world. It is not just meant for us right here. That's not even where I was trying to go. But let's go back into the second chapter of Acts. So they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? So these guys are all from Galilee. How come I can understand them? And that is the gift of tongues that was being used right there. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. All of us, we're all hearing this. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So if you come in here today and this is your first time possibly ever in a holiness church, and you see some of these children of God get up under the power of the Lord, and somebody lays hands on somebody else, and you see them under the trembling power of the Lord, it's just exactly what was happening over there in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And the men that were there that had never seen it before, when they looked at it, they said, man, what is up with these people? They are drunk. That's what he said. He said, these guys are drunk. What are they doing? I mean, it's just, it's early in the day. How come they drinking already? Come on, get a hold of yourself now. And Peter says, hold up, big boy. Listen now. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And Peter goes there and he recounts exactly what we read in Joel chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. He's saying today the promise is fulfilled that Joel gave us back over there several hundred years ago, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, not just the Jews, but upon all flesh. That's an important concept to understand. Not just the Jews, because for generations, salvation was only to the Jews. you could only have salvation with God if you were born into the lineage of Abraham, or you were a proselyte and you converted, which involved abiding by some very strict dietary laws and regulations, and also a law of circumcision. And there were very few people who were willing to go to such strict measures to follow a God that they didn't understand. So, but now, starting there in Acts chapter 2, it is the beginning of the fulfillment of the promise that God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Let's skip down to verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So, when Paul says over in Romans, all whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and here in Peter where he says whoever shall, or when Peter says it in Acts chapter 2, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. An important, important point that we have to make sure we understand. They are not telling you that just because you call on Jesus or call on God, you are automatically saved. There are religions all across this world that have spread that gospel and that doctrine that all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And they're saying just because you call, you are saved. What he is telling us here is that whosoever, meaning, I don't care if you're Greek, if you're Jew, if you're Asian, if you're Hispanic, if you're Russian, it doesn't matter what your nationality is, doesn't matter who your daddy is, doesn't matter who your granddaddy is, whoever that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is the beginning of working out your own salvation, because you also must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So, we'll jump real quick over to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. Just so you know that I'm not taking something out of context. So, think about what happened when Jesus went out into the wilderness and he began to be tempted of the devil out in the wilderness. The devil came to him with the word of God. And one of the times that the devil came to Jesus, he said, he took him up to the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. Because it is written in the Word of God that you won't dash your foot against a stone, and that angels will bear you up. So you just, if you're truly who you say you are, jump off of there and let's just prove God that you really are the Son of God. And the devil used scripture against Jesus. And Jesus just looked at him and he said, but it's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So be careful to pull out just one scripture and not back it up with all the rest of the encompassing scripture in the Word of God. Be very careful to base your salvation upon one scripture, just like what Satan did to Jesus. And if Jesus had done that, I don't know what would have happened. But Matthew chapter 7, these are the words of Jesus in verse 21. Well, we're going to back up. We're going to start in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which do come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Verse 21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are not my words. This is not Rusty putting his interpretation on the word of God. This is the word of Jesus Christ speaking and saying, just because you call on me and say, Lord, Lord, that does not mean you are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. I want you to let that sink in, because we have whole religions that have been deceiving people and false prophets that he just warned you about. He said, beware of false prophets that are going out there and are deceiving you and are headlong dragging millions of people to a devil's hell. And listen, I'm not coming to you trying to beat you over the head. My man, when the word of God began to come to me, when I came here this morning, I didn't have this on my heart. And when God set me down over there and I began to feel that God, that Lord that I serve, when I began to feel him and I began to know, he began to show me in my mind, I want you to deliver this and this and this, because I've prepared hearts to receive it today. I've prepared hearts that need to receive it today. And as he began to show me, I began to weep. My tears just began to roll down my eyes, because Lord, there you're coming to a knowledge of a truth that is offensive. Because what I'm telling you, some of you, you may believe that you are saved and in a saved condition. And I'm not at all trying to beat you over the head. What I'm trying my best is to plead with you and to beg with you today that there is more to salvation than just calling upon the name of the Lord. That is just the beginning of it. There is more to it than just calling upon the name of the Lord, because he says, just because you call upon the name of the Lord does not mean you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So what does he say after that? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, those are the ones that shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So there is, if you were here last night, to do the will of the Father, obedience is what he is looking for. There is obedience that is required to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? So haven't we gotten up and spoken under your anointing, and haven't we cast out devils in your name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them. Jesus is saying, I will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Lawlessness, sinfulness is iniquity. If your preacher is telling you that you can go out and live a life living in sin and still have salvation, your preacher is lying to you. That is a lie, because there is a way. There is a way. And man can't do it on his own. Man cannot live. You cannot live a life free from sin without that love of God being shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It is not possible. man cannot go around months and months and months having been repented and not having received the Holy Ghost. And you cannot live a life free from the condemnation of sin without having had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And there's plenty of scripture to back that up. We can come talk to me and we'll talk over in John, 1 John 3, and many others. But I don't have time to get into that right now because I want to keep going on this. But he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, let's go back to Acts again, because I'm going to try and wrap this up really quickly. Because the points that I'm wanting you to get out of this is, one, don't base your salvation just upon you calling upon the name of the Lord. Because there is more to salvation than you calling on the name of the Lord. And it's not me telling you this, it's the Word of God, Jesus saying it directly from His own mouth, saying, just because you call upon the name of the Lord does not mean you will be saved. Does not mean that you will enter into the kingdom. But then how do we know? How do we know that we have received the gift of the Holy Ghost? He doesn't leave it up to chance. He doesn't leave it to where we have to be uncertain, where we wonder, Lord, did we actually receive anything? Is there a change that has taken place in my life? You will know. In that day, you will know. This is Jesus talking. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father and ye in me and I in you. You will know that there has been a change in your heart, because there will be a change on the inside, and there will be an external witness that testifies back to the Father and lets everyone else know and confirms to you, this is my chosen vessel whom I have sealed with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they are sealed unto the day of redemption. And that external evidence that you are in the family of God is the speaking in the cloven tongue. And there are two other places in the book of Acts that I want to go over. Well, actually three. I want to go over them. We're going to try and go over them real quick. And you can write them down and we can come back and you can come and we can talk about it later on. But the next one, the next time that we see the Holy Ghost given is in Acts chapter 8. And what happens in Acts chapter 8, I don't think I'm going to read it. I'm just going to go through it real quick. Acts chapter 8, Philip, so persecution came against the church. The disciples were spread out across all the world. And Philip went down to Samaria at that point. And when Philip went down to Samaria, he went preaching the Word of God. He delivered the Word of God to them, and they heard the Word of God. They believed the Word of God, and they were baptized. But there was still something else left, because Peter says, Luke is telling us here that when Philip went down there, he says, they believed the Word of God, they heard it, and they were baptized, but as of yet, the Holy Ghost had not fallen on any of them. So it is very possible that you have heard the Word of God, that you have believed the Word of God, that you have called upon Jesus, but you are not saved because the Holy Ghost has not yet fallen upon any of them. These are not my words. These are the words directly from the Scripture. Verse 16, for as yet He, the Holy Ghost, was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So Peter and John came down from or up from Jerusalem to Samaria and laid their hands upon them, and when they did, they received the Holy Ghost. So it is possible that you have heard the Word of God, that you believe the Word of God, you might have even been baptized, but unless you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you have not yet come to the saving knowledge of the grace of God. And He doesn't actually say right here that they spoke in tongues, but if you want to come talk to me, I can explain to you that there was this guy named Simon the sorcerer, and he even saw that there was a difference that took place. There was something that took place that was so remarkably different from just hearing, believing, and being baptized, and then Peter and John coming down there, laying their hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost being given. There was a difference that took place so much that a man who practiced black magic, the sorcerer, he practiced black magic, he saw that there was a change and a difference so much that he wanted that power to be able to do what they did. So there's enough evidence right here that something took place that made a change that was so evident that even a man who was in the bond of iniquity and the gall of bitterness could understand that the Holy Ghost had been given. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius' house. This is the very first time, both of those other times, Holy Ghost had been given just to the Jews. Well, to the Jews first, and then Philip, when he went down preaching and Peter and John laid hands on the Samaritans were half-bred Jews. And you think racial tension in Memphis is bad right now? You hadn't seen anything compared to what the Jews and the Samaritans thought of each other. We are talking hundreds of years of generational hatred between the two, because the Jews thought that the Samaritans were a half-bred, interracial mutt breed of a people, and they would go days out of their way so that they did not have to pass through Samaria because they hated them so much. And if you go back and you read the story about Jesus talking to the woman at the well who was a Samaritan, that gives it a whole new connotation for you. So when you get a chance, go back and read it, because it'll do you some good understanding that. But now, so the Holy Ghost was given to the Jews first there of the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, then to the Samaritans there. When Philip and Peter and John came down to them, they received the Holy Ghost. Now we have Cornelius, and Cornelius, chapter 10, verse 1, was there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So he was not Jewish. He would be what they would call a Gentile, someone who was not born, who was not under the lineage of Abraham, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So this was a good man. He believed in God. He feared God with his whole house. He gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. And so what happened with Cornelius is he had a vision, and then, it was a vision. And then Peter also was up on his rooftop, and Peter had a vision. And God let Peter know that it was unlawful for the Jews to go into the house of a Gentile. It was unlawful for them to go into the house of someone who was unclean and defiled, who was a Gentile. And God gave Peter a vision, and he let Peter know that what I call, don't you call common or unclean if I tell you it's been cleaned up. And he's saying, you go, there's people coming from Cornelius' house, go with him to his house, and you preach the word of God. There was a man of God who had been ordained by God to deliver the word of God to a heart that had been prepared to receive that word, and there was fruit that was born from that word of God when it went down into that heart. And so Peter went to Cornelius' house, and he began to preach, and before... Man, I love this part because this makes me feel so good. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. So listen, I don't even have to finish my sermon up here, because when God, it's not my words, it's the word of God that's coming down into your heart. And when you get ready to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you don't have to wait on me to shut my mouth. You can just give up to the Lord, be obedient to Him right now in this very moment, repent of your sins, never to go back into them again, and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. And that Holy Ghost can come into your heart right here. Just like with Peter, before Peter ever even got finished preaching the word, the Holy Ghost fell upon them that believed. Verse 45, and they of the circumcision, which is just a way to say those that were Jewish, which believed, so those that were Jewish, which had the Holy Ghost, were amazed. They were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know? How did they know? How did the Jewish people who were there against the law of Moses in a Gentile's unclean house, how did they know that these people had received the word of God, verse 46, and received the Holy Ghost? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as we? So the next time we see the Holy Ghost given is over in Acts chapter 18, and Paul is over in passing through the upper coast, and he came upon some people. I'm sorry, 19, Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, he was in Ephesus, finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Lord, that's the question that I have for you today. You may believe upon Jesus, but have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And Lord, I'm doing my best right now. Lord, and I'm praying that He is blessing my efforts, that my sacrifice is coming up before Him, and that He is going to honor it, because I'm trying my best, the best that I know how, to let you know that there is a real, true Holy Ghost that you can receive, and you will know in that day that you have received it. And no man will tell you that you have received it. No man will have to tell you, because there will be an inward change, and then that tongue is just an external representation of an internal transformation that's taken place. There will be an internal transformation that will change your life, because you are dead right now. The Word of God tells you that if you are without the Holy Ghost, you are not in the vine, and you are dead. Dead, dead, dead. You don't even have to worry about dying, because you're already dead where you are right now. And what He's trying His best to do is to let that Word of God go down into your heart and let it start to bring life back to you, and let you desire to be grafted back in to that vine of God, which is Jesus. That He wants you to be grafted into Jesus, and to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And you will know, no man will have to tell you, you will know from that day forward. And it doesn't matter if anybody else is ever around you again. You could be like Elijah and think, I am the only person left. There is nobody left serving the Lord. And God will still confirm to you that you're still my child. Lord, don't you want to know? We're Father's Day. Today's Father's Day. Man, our fathers, man, it's a big responsibility on the dads. A big responsibility on the dads, because we are called to be an exemplification to our children of the love that God and Jesus has for us. We are called as men with the Holy Ghost. It is our calling to exemplify that to our children. But we are not perfect. And those of you that are our children, you know we are not perfect. We are not perfect. But there is a heavenly Father who is perfect and loves you more than you could ever imagine. loves you so much that he is not willing. So these difficult times that are coming upon you, some of you may be going through difficult times right now. Those difficult times could very well be the grace of God being poured out upon you. Because he's saying, I love you so much, I am not willing to let you die in your sins. If you keep going down this path, you are going to die in your sins. And I love you so much that I'm letting you experience pain right now so that it will draw you out of that life of sin and draw you to me. Sometimes that's what a loving father has to do. They have to let you go through a period of growth and a period of coming to the realization that, Lord, I have made an eternal mess of my life. Every decision that I make to try and make things better has just gotten me further and further and further, deeper and deeper and deeper into this hole, and there is no getting me out. I can't get out of this on my own. But I tell you what, there's a good thing because it almost sounds funny, but you've heard the nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You know what? Jesus is wanting you to come to a Humpty Dumpty moment where you have fallen off of that wall of your own making, of your own selfish pride, of your own foolish ways. He wants you to fall off that wall and shatter into pieces. And none of the king's horses and none of the king's men, I'm a king's man, but I can't put you back together. Not a single one of these men up here can put you back together, but I know a king who can. I know a king who can put you back together, and he delights in doing Humpty Dumpty style miracles. And he is a man who can take things that are broken and shattered and in all kinds of pieces. And what he's saying is, bring them all to me. All those shell of a piece, every bit of those broken pieces of your heart, bring them back to me. Let me do a Humpty Dumpty miracle and I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. Put a seal around you, and that egg won't ever break again. It won't ever crack again until the day of redemption, when the Holy Ghost and when God parts that cloud, when Jesus comes back in the eastern sky and that trumpet begins to sound one of these days. Glory to God. That's what we're looking forward to, children of God. We have been sealed unto that day of redemption, and there is a day that is coming just out in front of us where he's going to split that eastern sky, and these bodies that we have are going to crack and just fall, and just instantly they're going to be gone, and we'll be changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. This mortality will put on immortality. This whole body is going to fade away, and our souls are going to rise up. Glory to God. We're going to rise up one of these days to be with our Lord and Savior. And don't you want to know, don't you want to know today that you are ready to go to meet him in the air? Because either you're going to meet him one of two ways. Either he's going to part those clouds and we're going to be ready to meet him, or you may not even make it out of this building alive today before the call has come upon you in your life. And however the tree lays is how it's going to be. That is how it is. At that point, there is no purgatory. There is no second chance. There is no ability to get prayed out at that point. At the point that God calls you out of this world, that's it for you. You have no more chance of repentance at that point. Lord, Brother Lonnie, I think I'm just about done. I need to wrap this up and get out of the way. But what I'm praying, Lord, I am praying that God has used his words, not my words, but his words through the word of God to show to you that there is a Holy Ghost. And it takes more than just calling, takes more than just believing, it takes more than just being baptized. He showed us over and over in the Word of God, in Acts, in the different chapters in Acts, you could be a good person like Cornelius and live in a good life. But just because you live a good life does not mean that means nothing at all. Because our own self-righteousness is nothing more than filthy rags before a thrice holy God. And the only thing that will make us holy before God is for that blood of Jesus Christ, who was, He died upon a cross for your sin and for my sin, and to take away the sin of the world. And the only way for us to be able to meet Him in peace is to accept and to call upon Him and to believe upon Him and to repent and to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And you will know then that that blood of Jesus Christ has been applied not to your daddy's heart, not to your mama's heart, not to your grandfather's heart, but to your heart. In that day you will know, and you can stand on the Word of God saying, Lord, I am your child, and I'm looking forward one of these days to meeting you in peace, and for you to tell me, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many. Children of God, I think I'm done. I appreciate your patience. I appreciate your prayers. Lord, I hope you know that I love you. And I, in no way, I'm not trying to come down beating you over the head, but I am scared for your soul. I am scared to death for your soul, and I wish that you could feel the fear that I have for your soul. How scared I am for you right now, that this Word of God, that you will reject the Word of God and that you will put it away from you one too many times. Because that's all the devil's trying to do, is trying to convince you just one more time, reject this Word of God. Just one more time, and then one more time is going to be too eternally too late. I love you. Happy Father's Day. And ain't a better Father's Day gift than like what Brother Langston gave to his father several, how many years ago now? Yeah, that many years ago. So that's a long time ago. But he came down here Father's Day, believed the Word of God that had been delivered to him 25 years ago, obeyed that form of doctrine that had been delivered to him, and received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And listen, I'll be the first to vouch, he and I both, neither one of us are perfect. We are not perfect, but I tell you, there's a love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that unless you have the Holy Ghost, it is hard to understand the things that we do sometimes, because the natural-minded man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. It is foolishness to them. So the things that we do sometimes may seem just completely foolish, but if you understood the love of God, there is a reason behind the things that we do. And I can promise you, there is love that is behind what we're doing. It's not, we are not trying to beat you over the head. We are trying. Sometimes love has to be tough. It doesn't have to always be warm, fuzzy, touchy-feely. Sometimes love is difficult and it's tough. And we want you to know how much. And it's the man's responsibility so many times to have to deliver that tough love to our children. It is the man's responsibility to man up and to deliver that tough love to our children sometimes. The women were not designed to have to be like that. They are designed, man, I don't even want to have to get into this, but the women are designed to be in submission to their husbands. And that is the way, that is God's design from the very beginning. From the very beginning with Adam and Eve, it is woman's place to be in submission to her husband, and it is man's place to exemplify Jesus' love for the church, just like he loves his wife, and that he would be willing to completely self-sacrifice himself for his wife and exemplify so that when somebody else out there in the world is looking on that marriage, when someone who does not have the Holy Ghost looks in on your marriage as a husband and wife with the Holy Ghost, they should be looking in and should see an exemplification of Jesus and the love that Jesus has for His church. And that's a big responsibility for the man. A big responsibility for us. Brother, I need to get out of the way and quit talking. Brother Lonnie, you come ahead. I love the Lord today.